You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'd like to make a public announcement. John is here, and Michael Thompson's here, and Jorge and Bergie.
You're making a public declaration in comparison to a private one?
Correct.
Okay.
I am wrong about half the time.
All right, so I'm glad you actually went there, because the last segment, this is what I was trying to set up. I think that any reasonable person would say Michael was dead wrong about Tim Tebow and Vince Young. Michael will not admit that.
No.
Either
no.
one. But I mean, the facts, in a court of public opinion, Michael would lose on the facts. But Michael, regardless of that particular disagreement between you and us, we could not have ever been more wrong than Wilbon and Kornheiser when they were doing PTI after the 2003 draft. Now, remember, Michael set it up before the break. That draft, in order, was LeBron James 1, Darko Milicic 2 to Detroit, Carmelo Anthony 3, Chris Bosh 4, and Dwayne Wade 5. All right, so four surefire Hall of Famers in LeBron, Melo, D-Wade, and Bosh. And then there was Darko, who the Pistons obviously missed on. So the question, Michael, that they asked Kornheiser and Wilbon back on the day after they were drafted, who do you think at the end of their careers will have had the best career? And listen to what they said.
I gladly take any of the three of them, but I am a Carmelo Anthony guy.
Now, I personally think that if Darko maxes out,
ahead of Yao Ming, go right
in. If Darko maxes out, I believe he's the best of the bunch.
Kornheiser said if Darko maxes out, I'm taking Darko. Can you believe that? He took Darko. Wilbon took Melo. Nobody took LeBron.
All right, Mace, what is the thing you've been most wrong? What proclamation have you made that you've been most wrong about? And I have one in mind in case you don't hit it.
You're talking about sports proclamation?
Yeah, any you can go anywhere. Anything you've been the most wrong about.
So I think I've been wrong about Clay Helton a lot. I supported him for multiple years, including after the year he went 4-7, said they were rebuilding. I supported Clay Helton for too long. You could argue that I supported Jared Goff for too long.
Okay, I don't think either one of those were as egregious as the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
We once had, Michael, a legitimate argument after each of them were rookies. Who would you rather have, Yasiel Puig or Mike Trout?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And Mason was adamant you should take Puig because he did more things. And Trout may go down as the greatest baseball player.
Yeah, that was an awful one. Must have one.
Oh, I have two. I have two, and they're both Bergman. It's me being guilty of seeing the world through blue and gold colored glasses.
Oh, no.
I once announced to anyone who would listen that Ed O'Bannon was a can't-miss NBA All-Star.
Oh, I thought that too.
Can't miss. He went like ninth to New Jersey. Michael, why didn't Ed O'Bannon make it in the NBA?
He couldn't shoot. You got to be able to knock down shots like the Robin Ories of the world when you're a small forward, 6'9". You can be athletic as all get out. The league is full of those guys, but if you can't knock down shots, big deal. Nobody cares.
The other guy that, again, with my UCLA bias, that I said was a can't-miss NFL prospect.
Can I guess?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cade McNown.
Yep. Cade McNown, I said, anybody who doesn't draft Cade McNown is crazy. He makes plays when plays break down. His record at UCLA his last 2 years was 20-1.
Lost the Miami game.
Don't talk about that game. No, Mace, but they lost that game 51-45.
Edger and James just went nuts in that game. That was the game. If they would have played that game in the regular order, right? If it had been on the date it was supposed to be, instead of a makeup game late, I think UCLA probably would have won that game.
So my Vince Young, Tim Tebow screw up in the NFL was Cade McNown, who I said was a can't miss NFL prospect. Both those guys Cade McNown and Ed O'Bannon were out of the league within 5 years.
Weren't you guys wrong about Reggie Bush, too? Didn't you guys think he was going to be the new Barry Sanders?
No.
I thought Reggie Bush, and I still stick with this, the best college football player I've ever seen.
What?
Is Marshall Faulk.
Oh, you must have never seen Barry Sanders then.
I did.
You did?
I got a great Barry Sanders story, by the way.
And you think Marshall Faulk was better than Barry Sanders?
I do. I thought Marshall
Faulk. Do you realize Barry Sanders rushed for 2,800 yards?
Michael, go back and look at Marshall Faulk's individual games when he was at San Diego State.
Look at Barry Sanders' individual career.
Well, Barry Sanders was a much better NFL player, obviously, than Marshall Faulk. They're both going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, both Hall of Famers.
But I said, Michael, at the time, that Reggie Bush was the closest thing to Marshall Faulk I had ever seen. And I stick by that.
Yeah.
I think as a college player, Reggie Bush was absolutely unbelievable. Okay, true story, Michael. You know how in the offseason, guys will go back to their hometown and play in charity basketball games?
Yeah.
So one time, Jerry Ball, remember the defensive nose tackle for the Detroit Lions?
Yeah.
Okay, he's from Beaumont, Texas. So I'm a sportscaster in Beaumont, Texas, and he has a charity basketball game. And we go, and it's all the sportscasters in town playing against Jerry Ball and all his friends. And we walk out to the center jump circle, and the guy who's standing next to me, who I have to guard, is Barry Sanders.
Oh.
And he says to me, "Hey, man, I'm not really a hooper. Take it easy on me." I said, "No worries, man. I got your back." So we come down, and I very loosely guard him, and he goes right around me on the right and lays it in. Then we come down the next time. He goes very loosely around my left and lays it in. Third time down, he hits a jumper right over me. I go, "Did you just sandbag me, man?" He goes, "He gave me the Woody Harrelson and White Men Can't Jump. I've never played this well. I'm not even a good basketball player." He was the leading scorer and ate me alive. Barry Sanders just dominated me.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's the greatest running back in college football history.
And just walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 years of age.
So, Michael, you'd take Barry Sanders ahead of Jim Brown?
As for all time back, no. But Jim Brown's the greatest football player who ever lived, but Barry Sanders is the best college football running back ever.
I think maybe Lawrence Taylor might be the greatest football player ever.
A lot of people say that, yeah.
My dad used to always love the guys that had two sports. Like, he would say, Jim Brown, unbelievable running back, and he was great at lacrosse.
Yeah, well, like
he was
Deion
unbelievable
Sanders,
at lacrosse.
A lot of people underestimate Deion Sanders as the greatest football player ever. He could do it all.
Play baseball,
Yep.
James Worthy told me a great story about LT, Lawrence Taylor, who was a football player at North Carolina when Worthy was a basketball player. So he said that when they would all go to parties, Lawrence Taylor would walk in and he would come empty-handed to these parties. And he would walk up to people and goes, "You're either going to give me your girl or your beer." And everybody would give him the beer. So he never brought beer to parties because that's what he would say. Give me your girl or the beer. Because here's the beer, man. Take it.
Exactly. Michael, are you capable of acknowledging when you're wrong? You don't. It doesn't seem like you are.
No, of course I am. Let's see. When was I wrong about an athlete? But, you know, the times that I have been wrong is because injuries set in. Like, obviously, I thought Greg Oden was going to be a 20-10 guy.
Yeah.
And he
would
have been.
I believe he would have been, yeah.
He would have been, but he got hurt. So let me think. When was the last time I definitely when I put a Tony Ranzoni. You guys know who Tony Ranzoni is,
right? Tony
Ranzoni. He's the guy that talked him into drafting Darko.
And after you guys interviewed him, he said he'd do the same thing again, right?
I was beside myself in that interview. I went, Tony.
Yeah, we interviewed him, and this was after Darko had kind of flamed out, hadn't gotten under the court. He says, "I would do it again. I would draft him again."
Mason, do you remember I went full Ted Koppel on him? I went, "Tony, I'm going to give yourself a chance to bail yourself out here because this is going to go viral, and it's not going to be good for you. You're telling me that going back and giving you a do-over
and knowing what he knows now
in a draft that had Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh taken immediately after you took Darko, you would do it again." And he goes, "I absolutely would do it again, and nobody in the NBA would have done it differently." Mm-hmm. I go, "Yeah, I don't think." Yeah, the thing, Michael, was if you knew what you knew now,
exactly,
and Wade had already won like a title and been unbelievable.
Matter of fact, I do remember the last time I was wrong. It happened this past weekend. I was dead wrong.
About?
Anthony Joshua. I said before the fight he was going to he was going to walk over Alexander Usyk.
I actually
Usyk.
Put
remember
that in our email for the show,
George,
Michael.
Were talking about that. I saw he's going to kill Usyk.
So that messes up boxing for the next 2-3 years, right?
Let's see what happens. If Fury beats Wilder and then Joshua and Usyk got to fight again in probably February or March, Usyk will beat him again unless Anthony Joshua learns how to fight rough. So then you could have Fury and Usyk fight in November or something like that.
Greg, you said you thought of another one with Mason?
Yeah, Mason, you got one really, really long, and it makes me laugh every
what
single time.
What
Hold on,
wrong?
Here
Tell
you
me.
Go.
Tell me.
Here you go.
Steve, who wins the AFC West this year?
Well, five words for you. I believe in Mark Sanchez.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That was on first take.
Yeah, that was so Jen, that was Jen Latta, who was Latta. So great.
Did she say the AFC West?
Well, that's when Mark Sanchez had gone to the Broncos
after he played for
the Jets.
I forgot he played for them.
I believe in Mark Sanchez. Yeah, those words are doomed.
The best was she saying, oh, no, at the end.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I can't believe you said
that. I'll tell you, when we went back to do First Take, we got to work with some really, really cool women.
Oh, yeah.
Jen did it a couple of
Cassidy
days.
Cassidy Hubbard.
Cassidy did it. Tony Collins did it a couple of days. Molly did it one day. Molly Kierum did it one day. That was really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I'm never doing that again, though.
Yeah, well, with the mistake we made was we agreed to do First Take and then do the Mason and Ireland show.
Are you guys pro-women?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, Michael, you know that in our world, broadcasting NBA games, there are now, in this past offseason, three women hired, one to do your job and two to do mine.
Yeah.
The Bucks hired Lisa Byington, who's going to be their TV play-by-play person. Mm-hmm. The Sixers just hired a woman to be Kate Scott to be their TV play-by-play person, mm-hmm. and then the Jazz hired Holly Rowe from ESPN to be their analyst.
Because if you guys are so women woke, then you must have seen that great game last night in the WNBA playoffs, didn't you?
No, I don't watch the WNBA.
Oh, Mace, man, don't be so chauvinistic.
What, Michael?
It's
what
not
is,
chauvinistic.
Michael,
I just don't
what
watch
is
it.
The status of the WNBA finals right now? Is it going on or is it starting?
The semifinals are going on right now. The West versus the East. Last night we had a double overtime game against the Mercury and the Connecticut Sun. It was a great game.
So was.
And by the way, Jonquel Jones from the Connecticut Sun.
Yeah, she was the MVP, right?
You know where she's from?
No,
Bahamas.
Oh, wow. Nice. Right. I didn't know that.
So we got Jonquel Jones and DeAndre Ayton.
Are Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi both still alive or just Taurasi?
Taurasi's still alive. Sue Bird's done, I think.
Did Sue Bird get done? I thought I saw her playing a game.
Yeah, well, I think she was playing for Seattle,
Seattle.
And Phoenix knocked Seattle out.
Okay, got it. Taurasi's and they saluted her after her last game. Yeah, I'm hugely pro-woman. I just don't watch the WNBA.
It's fun, man. The games are actually fun.
Yeah, I'll take your word. I can't watch everything. There's so much stuff to watch, Michael.
I know. But you like the WNBA, especially the playoff games, Mike. They're really competitive. They're fun games.
John, do you watch any WNBA?
Very little.
Playoff games.
Very little.
What about you, Bergie?
Bergen?
I was doing something else.
Do you watch any WNBA basketball?
I do not make it to the WNBA, unfortunately.
Jorge, you strike me as a big WNBA guy.
Oh, no, I don't either.
I was talking to a friend. As a matter of fact, you bring it up, talking about you guys. I was talking to a friend of mine from the Bahamas last night. Huge NBA fan. He's an avid NBA Laker fan, loves the Lakers, loves the Warriors because of Clay. From the Bahamas, he told me last night he watched his first WNBA game ever.
Wow.
Not even possible after 30 years.
Well, if I watched one,
that
it would be my
been
first
around
one
for
ever.
30 years.
Yeah, 25, 30 years, yeah. Something
but
like
not
that.
Watching the WNBA, I'm absolutely pro woman.
Yeah.
It is the WNBA, Michael, to me is better than it's ever been. Level of competition is great, but I couldn't tell you who won the WNBA title last year.
Tough.
Could you?
By the way, speaking of pro woman, you guys know who Emma Raducanu is?
No. Is she a tennis player?
Nice. Yeah, she just won the U.S. Open.
Yeah, okay, got it. I got that.
I was reading about her off-the-court marketing abilities, Bergman. They said she has the potential now to make $1 billion off the court.
Good for her.
How about
Where's
that?
Where's she from?
England.
All for it.
Isn't that amazing? She's 18. She just turned 18 years
old. Good
of
for
age.
Her.
They say she has the potential to make $1 billion.
That's
because
awesome.
Because of her looks and her talent. She's well-spoken. She's very nice. She's always in a good mood because she's got a great personality.
So, Michael, when they were little – I was working at KCAL, and I did a story on Venus and Serena because they grew up in Compton.
Yeah.
And as part of the story, as a bit, I had Venus served me. What do you think happened?
Really?
Do you think happened?
How old was she?
Probably 12.
Wow. Let's see. So Venus was 12 serving to you. And did you play tennis like recreational? Okay. So
no.
If she served to you and she really was serving hard to you, I'm going to say You got your racket on it, but you obviously didn't return it over the net.
You gave me too much credit.
What?
Didn't completely ace me.
How many times? Did she serve once?
Twice.
Twice.
And she aced me, and by the way, she aced me once on the right and once on the left.
She's 12.
Because I know. But, Michael, she's Venus. That's how good those girls were, even at that age. They were unbelievable. Yeah,
by the way, and there's a movie coming out called King
Richard
with Will Smith.
Ooh, like Will Smith. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
It looks fantastic. All right, coming up next for you, Michael, I give you a choice. You can own – I guess it's too easy for you. Mm-hmm. Too easy. If you can own a professional sports franchise,
ooh,
baseball, basketball, football,
yeah,
what do you choose?
All right.
Might not even be one of those three.
Yeah, you may want to own a WNBA franchise.
That's right.
Or the soccer team.
Yeah.
Soccer team. All right, that's coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So this is the farewell tour, everybody. By the way, I blew my voice out, which happens sometimes. It is a finely tuned instrument, and when I was at the Rams game, I was cheering, and when I was at the Dodgers game, I was booing Manny Machado. I think that's one of the reasons why my voice kind of blew out. It happens sometimes. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Yeah, I sound fine. All right, so, Michael, the question was, and I want to sort of frame it like this. If you could own one franchise.
Well, I know what it is.
A NBA team, an NFL team, an MLB team, a soccer team, whatever it is. You can own one. What would it be?
Oh, that's easy. It's not going to be the Lakers. You know why? Cost of living, cost of doing business too high, too much taxes.
Yeah.
California is not the place that if you want to have a nice
property. Plus, we need the Buss family to own the Lakers. We don't need
so I'm not going to buy the Lakers. It costs too much to operate here in this state. Too many taxes.
Yep.
So you got to think. Location, meaning I want to play. I don't want to be up in Green Bay or in Buffalo. So you got to think weather, right? So you got to think taxes, like I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You got to think fan base, glitz and glamour, the free agent attraction for your team that they want to come there. They that's one of the better free agent destinations. Is what I'm looking for. And of course, you got to look at the franchise value and how much it's going to go up because of all those things. So you know, it comes down to we're talking basketball for me. And so you know which franchise I'm talking about, right, Ireland?
Basketball? You're gonna buy the Knicks?
Gotta be in Texas. Oh, the Heat.
Exactly.
The Heat.
The Miami Heat, baby. Oh, just Ireland. You know how much we love going to Miami. It's there, close to the Bahamas, too. For me.
And
oh,
Michael, we get to go back this year.
Yeah, I know.
We're back on the travel.
I'm ready to buy it from that cruise guy, right?
Mickey Arison.
Mickey Arison, right.
Now, none of these teams are for sale, but if I had a few $1 billion and that's the team I could buy, or any franchise, I'm buying the Miami Heat.
Ireland, what about you?
Cowboys. Yeah, they make
just no hesitation.
Yeah, they're worth so much money.
$6 billion.
Yeah, that I'd be the new Jerry Jones. I'd be done
working.
Would
you be as bad as Jerry Jones?
Bad? What are you talking about? He makes more money than any NFL
owner. No, I'm saying success on the field.
Well, can I have the Rams?
Yeah, I mean,
do I get SoFi?
Yeah, you get SoFi.
Well, yeah, then I'd do that.
How many Super Bowl rings the Rams got?
Right, but I'm just saying.
One.
Do they?
But I get Michael. Yeah. I get SoFi. I get a $5 billion stadium.
Right? Don't Jerry have three times the rings the Rams got? Mace? So how you say?
Yeah,
he's
you
a
know
bad
what's
owner?
Weird about that is Jerry is the guy that finances all the personal seat licenses. So every time you buy a personal seat license, you're paying the interest to Jerry Jones.
Yep.
That's how smart that guy is.
Oh yeah, he's the after Dr. Buss, he might be the best owner in sports.
I think I would buy the Dodgers.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Big baseball guy. I love the Dodgers through and through. I'm a
huge fan.
Wait a
minute, Mace. SoFi's worth $5 billion. Dodger Stadium's not even worth, $200 million.
But here's the thing. I know way more about baseball than I do about the inside-outs of football.
So you'd be the Jerry Jones of baseball, a meddling owner.
No. I would let Andrew Friedman do his job, but I want to be in the room. I want to find out exactly how we're – creating the secret sauce.
But you know baseball. Wouldn't you inject your opinions on stuff?
Yeah, probably. I'm a big believer in you hire somebody and you let them do their job. Like, yeah. A great example of that is Jeannie Buss hired Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka does his job.
Mm-hmm. Or Dr. Buss let Jerry West do his job.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the correct structure. I've never believed that the meddling owner is necessarily good for football. It worked. I mean, it worked, what, 20 years ago with Dallas?
You know, but you say that, Mace, but if you own, like when you own your movie theaters, didn't you have a lot of say on the decisions because you're the owner?
Well, sure, I was
the
owner.
So why should sports be any different?
I ran the place.
So why should sports be, if you own a team like Steve Ballmer or Jeannie, and you're the owner, why can't you come in and say,
yeah, but everybody answered to me when I ran the theaters.
But everyone answers to Jerry Jones now.
Right, but Jerry Jones is not the most effective guy in terms of player evaluation. It's been proven over the years. When was the last time the Cowboys went to the playoffs?
Didn't they go a couple of years ago?
I thought they went last year. Didn't they lose in the first round last year?
Was that the Cowboys, 7-9?
Or did Washington go?
Washington went, yeah.
They're going to win that division this year.
Mm-hmm. Terrible division.
Jerry's put together a good team this year.
Yeah, he's now 4 years without making the playoffs.
Yeah, Dak is underrated,
7-7, 5-8, 4-10, 5-8.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dak Prescott's underrated.
Yeah, he sure is.
He looks really good.
He always looked good. He always could play. It's just that
he's
you guys,
another guy who's got some mobility to him.
Well, yeah, he can play, man. It's just that everybody was comparing everybody to Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes just sort of and Brady, and that's not fair to the rest of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, those are two different kind of guys. Right. Like Brady is one model, and Patrick Mahomes is another model. Right. And it's hard to argue against Tom Brady. Like, do you think he could actually play till he's 50?
Yeah, because like I was talking to DeMarco Farr about that last week when he and I were on the air, and I said, DeMarco, off the air, we talked, can he really play till he's 50? And DeMarco said, yes, because the way quarterbacks are protected, you can't hit him. Of course he can. And he takes care of himself.
Yeah, boy, 50. Did George Blanda play
46.
Till he's 50?
But he was like a kicker and, you know, didn't really play every down or barely played any downs.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, 50's a number, man.
50's a new 40, Mace.
Is it?
Yeah.
50's a new 40?
That's like 40's a new 30 because of nutrition and the way guys work out and how to take care of their bodies.
What about you? Is 80 the new 70?
Eventually, yes, when I get there. Right now I'm 66, and I feel like I'm 56. I'm going to get my colonoscopy in a couple of weeks.
Oh, but, nice. Congratulations.
Michael, you're young at heart.
That's a pleasant experience.
But Mace, you don't even know because you're asleep.
It's
the day before it is rough.
Yeah, no, the day before it's rough on a colonoscopy.
That
you're
stuff is the worst.
Right.
Yeah. It seems, though, Michael, that if you look at owners, I think owners are more involved on almost every team than we know about.
Sure, they
like
should
be. This new book that's coming out about the Patriots that Seth Wickersham from ESPN's releasing today is all about how Bob Kraft was involved in all of that stuff. Uh-huh. That it wasn't just Belichick versus Brady. It was Belichick versus Brady and Kraft.
And any fan who criticizes a sports owner for that, ask that fan, if you own a business, aren't you going to be involved in every business decision?
No,
if you
my business model would be, I'm the owner, I hire somebody really good, and I let them do their job.
But wait a minute. You just said you didn't do that when you owned movie theaters.
Because right. I was running the company. It was my company. There was nobody else to run it.
Right.
But if you hired a
wait, you didn't have a manager?
No.
But if you hired one, wouldn't you want to know every decision they made?
Yes.
Well, there
I
you
absolutely
go.
Would.
Well,
oh, so you're saying I was a meddling theater owner?
Yes. No, no. I'm just saying you have a right because you're the owner. You should know what's going on.
I'm not arguing that there's a right. I'm saying you know, how much does Jeannie influence Rob Pelinka? I would argue Jeannie is the owner, the governor,
right.
And Rob Pelinka does his job and does it the way he wants to do it. To me, that's healthy.
Yeah, although in that Bill Oram story from a couple of days ago, he said that Jeannie's the one who closed the Westbrook deal.
There you go, see?
That it got to the point where it was such a huge financial investment that they got Jeannie on the phone with Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Wizards, and let them finalize the deal. So I think that happens a lot.
Yes, Mace. She has to look at the bottom line for the Lakers to make sure it all works.
Yeah, I mean, she stepped in a high-level conversation. That does make sense.
Well, that's what
there
you
are
would
conversations
do too.
That, yes.
If you owned the Dodgers, that's what you would do too with Friedman.
You think Stan Kasten's doing that? You think Mark Guggenheim?
Mark Walter is doing that? They're absolutely going to Mark to sign off on deals like the Trevor Bauer deal.
Oh, well, sure. In other words, we want money. That's different than, hey, we want to sign this minor leaguer to a deal or we want to make this trade for somebody.
Don't you think Mark Walter's going to have to sign off on whatever they offer Corey Seager?
If they offer Corey Seager.
Oh, they will. They're not going to let him go.
Wait, my Mike, what are you talking about? He has Scott Boras as an agent, and the Yankees don't have a shortstop.
Yeah, and the Dodgers have got Trey Turner, who's ready to step into that job.
If somebody overpays for Seager, I don't think the Dodgers are going to match it.
You might be right there, especially if Trey.
Hey, how's Clay or how's Trace doing?
Trace is doing okay. He's got a couple of home runs for the Cubs. They're finishing up in Pittsburgh this week and in St. Louis over the weekend. So hopefully he's showing them enough to invite him back for spring training.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
Good.
So I got a request from a fan named Al Zeta. Mason and Ireland fan. Al Zeta. His name is Al. He's a huge Mason and Ireland fan. Some background. He was a Rams season ticket holder just like you, currently a season ticket holder to the Lakers. Fiance and I engaged and looking for an officiant. I can't think of a better person to be the center of attention marrying us. It is next year, June 18th, 2022. I'm wondering if you were available and if you would be honored to marry the two of us. Take place, blah, blah, blah.
You should do it. You can get certified on the internet.
I am already certified.
Well, then
I got my certification.
So why don't you do it?
Bill Plotchke did.
You are a holy man.
Well,
he's spiritual. I don't know if holy would be the right word.
I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. I go to church.
Okay.
So I got that going for me. I think Bill Plotchke did a great job at Lindsay Theory's wedding. I don't think Bill Plotchke can be topped. I'm going to give Al Zeta Bill Plotchke's information.
But he doesn't have the connection to Plotchke that he does to you.
Well, I'm sure he reads the Times.
And I've seen Bill on Around the Horn. You could trump Bill. You could do a better job than Bill. I didn't see Bill at Lindsay's wedding.
I'm thinking about this.
Yeah, you should do it. So yeah. I once had a weird request from a listener for a wedding that I ended up doing it. He's a big Laker fan and listens to us, Michael, doing all the games. And he wanted me to record the introduction of the wedding party.
Oh.
So I did it. He gave me their names, and I did it like an NBA announcer, Lawrence Tanner would do it. I'd say, coming in 6'5" from Huntington Beach, Bob Stevens.
Oh, that's great.
And they all walked down the aisle to my description of them.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So that's as far as I ever went.
By the way, at any point, John Ireland could be lying.
Now, Mason, will you be?
And if you catch the lie at 3:30, you will win Rams Cardinals tickets at SoFi on Sunday, which is the hottest ticket in town.
Mace, if you do this, officiate this wedding, will you be high? Will you be high?
No, I would be respectful.
After the wedding.
After the wedding, at the reception, hell yes.
I was high
at Lindsay Theory's wedding.
Yeah, but weren't you staying there?
No, Juan was driving. He was not.
Oh, but I thought you were staying at the place where they got married. So
no, we were staying at a place down there, but not exactly. But, yeah, no, I enjoy things like that. I did not go to the Dodgers game stoned last night, though. Did not. Mm-hmm. Michael, coming up next, I want to ask you about millionaires.
Ooh.
And how much they should leave to their kids when they pass away.
Oh, good question, Michael. You got to make that decision in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, that is coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I did ultimately find – I walked completely around the stadium. I forgot where I came in. And Bergie and Jorge will tell you, throughout the game, I just kept saying, I hope I can find my car.
It came true, Mace.
Some long nights at the Dodgers Stadium parking lot looking for my car. I'm clueless, and I don't know how to drop it.
Your wildest dreams came true.
Yeah, I did. I found it. By the way, Walker Buehler last night looked fantastic. He looked like the first 5 months of the season. He was an all-star, of course. He says he simplified his pitch selection, more four-seamers, and ironed out some mechanical issues. And to me, that's why you continue throwing your guys down the stretch, because they got stuff to work through. They got stuff to figure out, and you want to maintain an edge, and you want to maintain an advantage and a heat. I have no issue with these guys pitching. Last night was 7 innings, 90 pitches. Perfect. 2 hits. Go ahead. Throw them and tune up Julio Urías. Same thing.
Michael, I think the Giants are going to win the division, and the Dodgers should go to all these players and say, if you're tired, if you're beat up, take some days off and get ready for this wild card game.
Sure.
I think Mason still thinks the Dodgers are going to win the division. They're two down with five to go.
Yeah, but look, if we win tonight and the Giants lose, we're one game back.
Yeah, you play until you're mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, you keep playing. You play through the tape, man. Mm-hmm. It's not over.
Run through the tape, as they say.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to this inheritance thing, because Michael's a good guy to ask.
Yes. Okay. So there is a
– I love millionaires.
There is a big – I'm sure you do.
Who doesn't?
I'm sure you do.
Right. Yeah, Michael, we're the only two that will admit we want to be 1%.
Heck yeah. A bunch of hypocrites out there. 1%. I hate millionaires. Why do people hate what they want to be?
Right, wealthy celebrities like Daniel Craig and entrepreneurs like Warren Buffett and Kevin O'Leary aren't the only ones concerned about leaving too much money to their children. Millionaires are incredibly concerned about how much of their fortune goes to their kids. That's according to a survey conducted by The Motley Fool, which asked 2,000 high net worth individuals classified with a net worth over $1 million about their attitudes toward inheritance. Among the top concerns in the individuals surveyed was the possibility of leaving too much money for their heirs, something that 67% of respondents mentioned.
Well, I thought you were going to bring up the Anderson Cooper story. Anderson Cooper, who is the son of Gloria Vanderbilt, is worth $200 million. And he's come out and said he just adopted a kid. Anderson Cooper is now the father of a baby. And he says he is not leaving that baby money, Michael, any money. He's going to pay for college, and then the kid's on his own. What do you think of that?
That just baffles me. I don't understand how you could be that cold-hearted. If you're that rich, if you're fortunate to be that successful in life financially, my philosophy is you leave 90% to the kids, 10% to your own charitable foundation, so you know where that money is going. Don't leave your family fortune to strangers you can't trust. I don't understand how these people think about that. You work hard to give your kids a great life, a better life than you had. So why work all those years just to give it away to people who are not your family? I don't get that.
But don't you think that being wealthy as a young guy, you're in your 20s and you've got $150 million, don't think that robs you of your incentive to do stuff? I mean, there's a long history of guys that have inherited money and then just blown the whole thing.
Those people are idiots. But if you are that rich as a family and you have kids born into that kind of wealth, then you teach them the value of money. You teach them the proper way to respect
that money.
All
right, so Michael, here's a hard question for you. You have three children.
Right.
Michael, Clay, and Trace. Mm-hmm. Clay is independently wealthy.
Yes.
He's set for life.
His grandchildren are.
Correct.
Great-grandchildren.
Do you... When you and Julie go, do you leave all the money to Mikey and Trace and leave Clay out of it, or you give equal amounts to all three?
That is a great question, because you're right. Clay doesn't need it. He's got his fortune set up. You're right. The other two get the majority of our assets because they didn't make NBA money. So you're right about that.
And there's nothing wrong. Don't you think that's a bad look, though?
No, it's not a bad – what is Clay – God willing, if Clay can stay healthy, and the money he's made already, he's going to have over $100 million, way over. God willing, if he's not going to blow his money, because he's very sensible with his money. So why does he need any extra dollars from us?
So mom's got a small nest egg.
Matter of fact, that happened
girl,
to me.
Donna.
That happened to me, Mace. When my parents died, they had a little bit of assets, and they took care of my other siblings. They knew I didn't need it. That didn't bother me. I said, that's the right thing to do.
So my mom has a small nest egg, and she said, well, because you've helped me all along, I'm going to leave it to you. And I said, absolutely not. We will split that three ways between my two brothers. I do not want there to be resentment between us.
Sure.
All
right,
because
so
I took
Mace,
all the money. And I don't need the money,
honestly. You know what I told my mom?
What?
My mom has the same thing, has like a small nest egg. I said, Mom, your goal, my mom will kill me for saying this, but my mom's in her 80s. I said, your goal is to leave this earth with one dime.
Yep.
Spend all of it. I'm going to be fine. I've done well in life. Jack and Lisa are taken care of. I said, this is your money. You guys have earned it. You and Dad have earned it. I want you to go out with a bank of balance as close to zero as you can be. And I hope she does it.
Yeah.
I hope she does it. I don't need it. Michael, I completely understand. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I had six siblings.
Yeah, I would have done it exactly the way your parents did it. You don't need it.
No,
you play in the NBA.
It didn't bother me. I wasn't bitter. I said, yeah, they need it more than me. I don't care. I mean, that's the way you're supposed to think if you love your family.
Right. Hey, Bergie, is Jan sitting on a big nest egg?
I mean, no. Nobody in my family is sitting on any type of big nest eggs.
Now, don't you think if you were rich, you would work less with less intensity?
Yeah, probably, but
let's find out. Bergman, go buy some lottery tickets. Bergman, if you were worth $100 million,
I will never not work hard.
Bergman, if you were worth $100 million, would you die and not leave your daughter any of that money?
No, I would leave everything to
there
my
you
daughter.
Go.
Everything.
I don't want to stay right now. To do that
right now, Michael, I will leave her my apartment in Valley Village.
Right. Yeah, I think that Anderson Cooper and guys.
By the way,
like
this
him,
is a trend that goes beyond Anderson Cooper. Right. It's
well,
a
Warren
bunch
Buffett.
Of guys.
You said
Bill
it.
Gates.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
And
he's going
to
leave.
And they're leaving all their money to charity.
I think Bill Gates said he's leaving his kids like $10 million or something like that.
But yeah,
Michael has a point. Like, I always give more when I go to Thompson Family Foundation events. Michael and his family have a foundation because I know I've met the guy who runs it. I know Michael and Clay have their hands on it. And I know, Michael, that a particular concern of yours is that that money would not get to the right people. Uh-huh. So you get involved with it.
Right.
But you're the one that taught me that a lot of these charities, like, you're giving the money to, and the money never gets to the people that you think it's going
20
to.
20 cents goes to the cause, 80 cents goes to costs. You know,
yeah.
Stuff
yeah.
Like that.
Like, that's
I hate that stuff.
Like, Mace, the V Foundation.
Sure. 100%.
The one thing that's been great about that is 100% of all your donations go to the V Foundation. ESPN, when they partnered with the Valvano family, they said, hey, we're going to take care of all your operating costs. So that way, when people donate, they can donate in good conscience. So that's a charity you can give to.
Or Michael St. Jude's is like that, too. St. Jude's is 100% goes to kids.
Yeah,
yeah. And so, St. Jude's is great because all that money goes to people. I mentioned to Mason, I went to
kids,
I did a visit at Children's Hospital this week. And they were telling me a lot of the people that come with their kids to a children's hospital can't afford to pay for it.
Yeah, sure.
So that's why that's the model. Do you guys know who started St. Jude's?
No.
It was Danny Thomas.
Yeah, that's right.
Danny Thomas, Marlo Thomas's father, who was a really successful actor.
Danny Thomas, by the way, from Toledo, Ohio.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And so Danny Thomas said, my goal is to start a hospital where no family ever has to pay if their kids get sick.
You know what charity really bothers me the most?
What?
Wounded Warriors charity.
Yeah, I'm with you, Michael.
Why do those people need help from us? The government should be giving them 100% of whatever they need. I don't understand this.
Well,
it's not rated as a good charity. If you're going to give money to veterans, it's the Disabled American Veterans is the charity that is recommended.
No, but my argument is why should these people need any help from the private
Michael,
sector?
Have you been to a VA hospital?
Yeah, well, I heard about it.
We treat people terribly.
I know.
We give veterans
well,
terribly.
Michael,
I
still don't understand why people won't sign off on the idea that you and I had years ago, which is if you served in combat for this country, you're done paying taxes.
Yes.
That's
you've
it.
Been, yeah,
you don't
you've
have
been
to
shot
pay,
at. Yep.
You don't have to pay taxes for the rest of your life.
I agree.
And everybody says, no, it would cost us too much money. Really?
No.
The military's not that big.
I don't mind my tax dollars going to that. Anybody who risked their life to keep us free, they deserve whatever they could get.
You know, Michael, on a separate subject, I want to throw this out there.
Yeah.
Why, Michael, have I never been invited to one of the Thompson Family Foundation events?
Well, for the last 2 years, there haven't been any.
Yeah, right.
I remember seeing John Ireland dancing to Aloe Black when he was performing.
No, we did invite you down in down in Newport.
Pelican Hill.
Never got an invitation.
You were invited, I remember.
At the time, you weren't playing golf, so you didn't want to play golf. But I said, well, you can come to the event.
Yeah, Mason,
oh, now I play golf.
If they ever do that again, screw the golf. You should see the spa at Pelican Hill.
Yeah,
you and Juan would love
it. Nice.
Next time we do, hopefully we can resume it next summer, and then you and Juan will definitely be there.
All right, cool.
You know, the great thing about that, those Thompson Family Foundation charities, and you guys can go online and read about it, is like I invited a couple that Lisa's friends with that are charitable. Everybody is in a good mood and everybody gives a lot because they explain right from the beginning, here's exactly where the money's going and we're overseeing it. So you can give in good conscience. Mm-hmm. Michael, I think that's really smart.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So Ireland at some point, and he's been very talkative.
I've been full
he's
of stories
told
today.
Told a lot of stories today. Has he told the lie? Have you picked it out? If you know, 3:30 today. You get a chance to call in and win Rams-Cardinals tickets for Sunday at SoFi. If you can identify John's lie of the day. I've got a bunch of stuff written down. I've been following along closely.
Okay,
so
good.
I may be able to figure it out. Mason Ireland, Jump Ball is next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about my buddy Jacob Imrani. So Jacob is the biggest, most successful, the best accident attorney in Los Angeles. Just period. Full stop. He's the guy. That's why you see those billboards all over town. That's why you see them all over TV. That's why you hear them all over 710 ESPN. Because he's the biggest and the best, and he's out there helping people. He's out there making a difference in people's lives. If you are involved in any kind of accident, any kind of injury, the guy you want is Jacob Emrani. 2 decades doing this, 24 years, in fact, an elite team of experts. You will not talk to the insurance company yourself. You will get to a doctor within 24 hours if you need to. You will not deal with any of the paperwork, and you don't pay Jacob a dime unless you win. So remember, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB, or remember the catchy jingle. Or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.com. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Take it away, producer Greg.
Thanks,
Mace.
Sometimes
that's there, sometimes it's not.
You know, it's always a surprise every day. Yeah. I like it. It's fun that way. All right, so we were talking at the end of the show yesterday about if we were nominated for anything in your high school yearbook.
Yes.
And I started to think about how when I was in high school, I really wanted to be class clown, but quickly realized that I had funny moments because I just annoyed the hell out of my teachers.
Right, that's weird. That's what you do now.
Yeah, it really wasn't classic funny. You
most
are not
annoying,
my teacher,
you would have been
sir.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, that could work too, Ireland. It's better than you calling me stupid and an idiot and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's all still true.
Yeah. So what were some of the things that you guys did to annoy your teachers when you were in school? And actually, Michael, you can go first.
Me? You got to remember now, I grew up in an English educational system, Mace.
Yep.
So when we messed up in class, we got the ruler. We got the
really?
The pad. We got spiked.
Can you imagine that happening these days?
Oh,
it'd be an
yeah.
international
yeah.
incident.
So our teachers were very strict, Bergman, so no Bahamian kids on there was misbehaving because we get whapped.
All right, this is a true story.
Bring that back. That'll keep kids under control.
This is a true story. I used to talk so much in class that a teacher once took a desk and moved it all the way to the very back of the room by the door. So the other 25 desks were all in a row in the middle of the classroom, and there was one desk at the door, and she goes, "This is your new desk, because you never shut up. You are sitting here for the rest of the semester."
Oh, funny.
I had to sit there. It was like fifth or sixth grade. I had to sit in the very back of the class by the door for the entire semester.
Bring back the dunce cap.
Yeah, the dunce cap is a really, really good throwback.
This was the equivalent of the dunce cap. I had to sit in the very, very back of the class by myself.
Bergie, what about you?
So
you're annoying, right?
Well, I'm annoying, but what I would do is I would sit in the back of the class right up against the wall, and so I would just kick the back of the wall. And my teacher would get really upset and be like, "What is going on? Stop that!" And I'd be like, "We'd be like, oh no, it's the people behind us." So she would go into the other classroom behind us and say, "Can you stop banging on the wall?" And so every time,
what are you talking about? We're not banging on the wall.
Exactly. And another thing that we did to the same teacher, she did not like me at all. One side of the room would start making animal noises, and then the other side of the room would start making animal noises, and it just kind of kept going back and forth with different animal noises.
That sounds very mature.
Yeah, it was high school.
What grade are you in at this point?
I might have been a senior.
Give us an example of one of the animal noises.
You went to the prom alone, didn't you?
No, I didn't actually.
He went with a girl that could make animal noises like him.
Jorge, anything?
Yeah, Mr. Chavez, chemistry class, senior year, he had never sent anybody to the office, and I found out because the lady at the office says, "Listen, I have never seen one of these referrals in a long time. Mr. Chavez never sends anybody to the office." And he sent me because I would disrupt the class, and he called me defiant. But, you know, whatever. I would talk too much. You know, it was just me.
For me, it actually goes back to college. So I was one of those guys who sort of skated through classes. And one of the things that I used to do was to visit the open door professor a lot of the time. So I would go to a lecture, and then I'd go in and I'd sort of work the guy over, you know, like, "Oh, you're great, and this class is making so much sense to me." And finally, a guy looked at me and said, "Are you just angling for a grade?" And I had to say, "Yeah, I kind of am angling for a grade."
What'd he give you?
He got me an A. I worked out an A.
So you guys know that when you apply for a job in TV news, you have to send a copy of your tape
to
the news director.
Tape.
So one time I sent a copy. I was waiting on this job, and I was a finalist for it, and I sent a copy of the tape. And I called the news director the next day. I FedExed it. I called the news director the next day. I said, I said, so what do you think of tape? He goes, I don't know. So far, all I've seen on this tape is you dancing salsa with a bunch of your friends. It was my final. It was a final in my salsa music class where we had to go visit a bar in downtown L.A. and basically show that we went and studied the music. And needless to say, I didn't get that job.
Didn't get that job. All right, there's the buzzer.
All right, so ahead of many Saints of Newark coming out on Friday, The Ringer put out a great article ranking all 86 episodes of the show. I can go through all 86 if you want, but no. I'm assuming you don't want me to.
No,
all right,
please don't.
Well, here are the top five, and you tell me if you agree with this part of the list.
Michael, have you ever seen The Sopranos?
The Sopranos?
Yeah.
You mean the TV show?
Yeah.
About 20 times each episode.
Okay, all right, perfect. So go for it. Perfect.
All right, so number five is Whoever Did This. This was the episode where Ralphie gets whacked by Tony in the kitchen.
Right.
Number four is called Funhouse. This is the episode where he sees the talking fish at the fish market, and then he and Silvio whack Big Rhymes with Wussy. Also great with the back and forth between sleep and reality. Number three was Pine Barrens. Polly and Christopher chase a Russian through the woods in the middle of winter, and Polly loses his shoes.
Oh, yeah, I know that episode.
Yeah,
they have to
sleep in the car. It's maybe one of the most famous episodes on the show.
Yep.
Number two was White Caps. This was the episode that ended season four, where they bought the house on the beach and Carmelo is happy, but then finds out that Tony was sleeping with Svetlana, the Russian with that had one leg. Changed their whole relationship. Why are you laughing, Jorge?
No, because this is, sounds funny. I haven't seen it.
Oh, I mean,
he slept with a one-legged runner.
Yeah, exactly. And number one was Long-Term Parking, which would obviously have to be this one. This was Christopher finds out that Adriana is talking to the feds.
Yeah.
Christopher ends up telling Tony and Silvio takes her out to the woods, and pop, that's the end of Adriana.
I think that is by far the episode that shook me up the most. I loved Adriana. I thought she was a great character.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mace. I did not see that coming. I didn't think they would whack Ariana because she was physically the best-looking person on the show.
Yeah.
And number one, I thought she knew enough to know you can't rat on the family.
Yes.
And the speed of which they decided to whack her was stunning.
Yeah, it was Sylvia, you know, in the woods, right?
Yeah.
She's crawling along in the woods.
She thought she was going to see Christopher because he thought he had an episode of some rehab center, and he took her out in the woods instead.
Oh, Christopher. Remember? That was a dark moment for Christopher,
But I think that when they whacked a Big Wussy, that was kind of sad because he had to know that was coming, right? He went on the boat with him anyway.
He went out on the boat, yeah.
It's like, geez.
Anytime the mob says, hey, come out on our boat, I think I'm going to pass on that invitation. Yeah.
So you like the top five?
I also liked Artie Bucco, the restaurant owner, when he would always get compromised because he would borrow money from Tony
and then
be unable to pay.
And remember, his wife would always say, Artie, you got to get him to pay because, you know, they owed so much money to Artie. And Artie was like, well, Tony, can you, like, pay my – and Tony would look at him like, you actually asked me to pay up?
Yeah, you owe me $50,000 and you're asking me to pay. I think
anything
with Artie
this movie
was good. Yeah.
Many Saints of Newark. It comes out on Friday. By the way, this is one of those ones that will come out on TV at the same time it comes out in theaters.
Much to the chagrin of David Chase, the creator.
Yeah, David Chase is very upset about that.
He's got nothing to do with this?
No, he created
and
wrote it.
He just wanted to be in
and
the
Michael,
theater
wait
and
you
on
see
HBO.
The, wait till you see the kid who plays young
Tony.
Oh,
I know. Well, that's Tony's son in real life. Looks just
James
like
Gandolfini's son in real life. He looks exactly like you would picture a young Tony Soprano.
Exactly,
All right, Jorge's got one. What you got?
Gracias, Bergie. So today is National Coffee Day, gentlemen.
Ooh, I love coffee.
If you guys like coffee, how do you take it? How do you like your coffee?
Black. Black as a crow. Straight black. Nothing in it.
It's got to be like motor oil. It's got to be thick and strong with a little cream and four brown sugars in it.
Nice.
I hate coffee.
What?
I hate coffee.
Have you always hated coffee?
I think it's just bitter water. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I drink it for effects.
Have you ever had Cuban coffee?
Oh, the best.
No, I don't
think
so.
Then you would like coffee.
So at 12:30 every day, as I'm getting ready for the show, I get one of those souvenir cups that I took from Dodger Stadium or from the Rams game or wherever, and I fill it all the way to the top with coffee, and I just chug it. I don't like the taste of it. I just chug it because I want the effect going on the air. That's the only time I really like coffee.
Why don't you just drink a Red Bull?
Red Bull gives me sort of this chemical feeling.
Gives you wings. Yeah, so you don't like the taste of coffee, Mace?
Don't. It's just bitter water for me.
Man.
I have really I mean, to me, you know, bourbon is brown water.
Do you put sugar and cream in it?
Bourbon is brown water. Tequila is strong water.
Well, why don't you add like a little sugar and cream?
Coffee's bitter water.
Yeah. Well, so, Michael, a couple of times over the past 5-6 years, when I've gotten up to play golf really early, and then we have a game that night, I've been worried about being focused for the game, so I would pound one of those five-hour energies.
Yeah.
And after doing that for about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, I realized that I would get home and I'd be so wired I couldn't sleep at all. So I had to give it up. But that, Mace, you used to drink so much coffee.
Oh, I drank so much coffee. But always for the effect, never for the taste.
Wow. Man, that's great.
All right, last one. We always laugh when we see certain big men shoot threes. JaVale was an end of a blowout
Michael
game
Thompson,
guy.
1-for-12.
From the half-court line.
There
Jeez,
you go. It's always exciting when they hit him. But Dwight was the same way, but maybe not so fast on Dwight, according to Wayne Ellington. Jorge, you got the sound?
When I last spoke to you not too long ago after the free agency period had ended, Dwight Howard was appealing to you to help him shoot threes.
Yeah.
He hasn't made that many in his career.
Yeah.
Has that happened or will it happen? And what's your prognosis on Dwight? Can he make the 40% club?
He has a chance. At first, you know, when we first spoke about it, you know, we were kind of joking around. But this past weekend, we were in the gym and I saw him shooting a little bit. And he impressed me.
What?
So I think you're going to see him make more threes than you've ever seen him make and probably take more.
Take the over on three-pointers, for Dwight, whatever that line is going to be this year.
So how many threes do you want Howard shooting a game this year based on Ellington's thoughts?
Well, it's not a big deal anymore to see these seven-footers shooting threes. That's
yeah,
the
most
game
of them
now.
Are. I still don't think I want him shooting a lot. I'll give him three a week.
I'll say when the game is on ice or settled, I don't care if Dwight Howard takes a three-point
shot. Well, let's see how he shoots him in the preseason. If he makes him in the preseason, then we'll say,
sure.
Go ahead.
Then I'll change my opinion based on that. But right. I need to see it. I mean, what we got Dwight for was to protect the basketball, to defend the rim. I mean, that's where we need him. We don't need him at the arc.
No, exactly.
All right, Bergie, is that it?
Yep, that'll do it.
That was a medium good jump ball.
It's better than normal, so I'll take it.
All right, coming up next for you, the general manager of the Washington Wizards has explained what Russell Westbrook said about coming to the Lakers while all of that was going down. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.